The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon is on now. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Welcome back to the program. We're into hour number three on your Tuesday afternoon. It's a rainy one in Calgary. I did not know it was going to rain today, Logan. Did the Last of Us crew call for the rain or what happened?
Spring showers bring something flowers.
You don't remember the saying?
Nope.
Are you joking? Or are
no,
you...
I really don't. I don't know.
It's not even spring showers. It's April.
I thought it was spring.
April showers bring May flowers.
Oh, there you go. See? You're welcome.
Jeez.
I thought it was spring showers.
I'm 99.9% sure it's April showers.
I don't know.
Not that we get a ton of April showers anymore, but...
It's not even April.
No, it's May. So your saying is incorrect.
Well, no, that's why I edited
May
it.
May showers bring May flowers.
I edited it to help us.
He's Logan Gordon. My name is Will Nault. You can always chime in at 960-960. If you missed it earlier today, don't fret. The boys on Flames Talk will give you another opportunity to enter into the draw. We gave the code word earlier today for round two, game one. We'll do the draw on this program tomorrow to give you a few hours to get down to the Saddle Dome and make your evening plans. But we've got a pair of lower bowl seats up for grabs for every game in round two at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. And the boys on Flames Talk will give you your next opportunity to enter the draw. Be listening to Flames Talk for their code word and get your texting fingers ready at 960-960. The Stanley Cup playoffs round two action gets underway this evening. The Blue Jays are back in action. There's lots happening away from the playoffs as well in the NHL to bring us up to speed on all things in the world of sports. It's time for headlines with Logan Gordon. Logo, where are we starting?
Is Zam going to hit? Are we going to... Do the...
All day long, we do the searching, the editing, the filtering. We find the good stuff, add some opinion, and call it Sportsnet 960 Headlines.
You know, if I was on Azam's beer league hockey team, I'd be a little worried. Head's not in the game today. He's apparently a goaltender, so I would be really, really, really upset and worried if I'm on Azam's team because he's not dialed in. He was dialed in earlier for the code word. Headlines, though... not so much. Maybe I should have called for it. Maybe it's my bad, but I'm going to blame Azam, so that's fine. And we're here, though. Headlines is played. The floor is yours, Logan. Let's start. Let's get underway. Sports headlines on your Tuesday. Where are we starting?
Round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs kick off tonight, Will. We're just about 2 hours away from puck drop in Florida. It is the Battle of Florida for the second straight year, but the stakes much higher than last year. The Lightning trying to become the first team to win the Stanley Cup in three straight seasons since the New York Islanders run a four straight championships in the 80s. While the Panthers are looking to keep their President's Trophy winning season going, the Lightning will be without forward Braden Point, who is doubtful for Game 1 because of a lower body injury sustained in Game 7 against the Toronto Maple Leafs on Saturday. Point had 4 points in the first round, including the game-winning goal in overtime of Game 6. The Panthers beat the Capitals in 6 games in round one for their first playoff series win since 1996. Will, some of the particulars on the Florida side, including head coach Andrew Brunette and Jonathan Huberdeau, excited for this opportunity against Tampa Bay. Richard builds as he get deeper into the series. That from head coach Andrew Brunette. Not sure that they're going to need many games to get into the hatred part of this series, Will. From a talent perspective, it's about as good as it gets. Kucherov, Barkov, Huberdeau, Hedman, Vasilevsky, some of the particulars. But I think everybody interested to see how the hatred factor works out in what should be another exciting edition of the Battle of Florida.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. A lot of people on the text line did not like the audio. Apparently, they were asking if the presser was done with a Darth Vader helmet on, a spaceship. Is it just me, or was the audio on those clips garbage? Can you confirm, Logan? You would have seen the video. Did they do it on a spaceship? Do we know?
You can blame the Panthers social media team for that.
Oh, jeez. Right
their
under
fault.
The bus. Officially, by the way, John Cooper speaking to the media just right now. Officially no Braden Point in this game tonight. I don't think that comes as a surprise to anybody. That's a massive absence for the Lightning. We'll see, you know, what that means in terms of and how this series plays out. How many games is Braden Point going to miss? I know that teams are tight-lipped about injury situations at this time of the year, but you know, knowing he's not going to play in this one tonight, knowing how painful it appeared to be Game 7 against Toronto, I don't like his chances of even playing 2 days later in Game 2. This is one of those unique series in Round 2. I think the only one that has a two-day break between games. I think there's probably a concert commitment or something. But they will not play Game 3 until the 22nd of May. They play back-to-back on 22nd and 23rd. So they play tonight. They play Friday. And then they don't play until... they play tonight, they play Thursday, and then not until Sunday. So maybe that break between games 2 and 3 allows Braden Point to get back in the lineup, but that's a massive hole for Tampa. A lot of eyes now will be Anthony Cirelli, an increased role for him. But Braden Point, no question, how valuable he is to the Lightning. That's going to be a big hole for them. I do not think this will take very long for the hatred to start to show. To Joe Smith's point, we talked to him last hour from The Athletic, who covers the Lightning. I don't know if we're going to see, you know, five-on-five type scrums after every whistle like we saw at different points of this playoff series last year. But, yeah, I don't know if we're going to, certainly not going to lack physicality in this series. I know you made the point yesterday, Logan, that it was a preseason game this year in Orlando and the two teams were fighting. So I don't know if we're really going to have to wait to get some physical play in this game. Can't wait. 5 o'clock, Sunrise, Florida, Panthers and Lightning.
7:30 tonight, the Avalanche and Blues kick off their Round 2 series. The Avs in the second round for the fourth straight season, but they haven't gone past that round since 2002. Of course, this year, expectations sky high after they finished with the best record in the Central Division and the Western Conference, followed by a sweep of the Nashville Predators in Round 1. Goalie Darcy Kuemper sustaining an eye injury during Game 3 of that series would miss the Game 4 clincher, but is ready to go tonight for Colorado. The Blues finished third in the Central Division, upsetting Minnesota in 6 games in round number 1. They have, of course, recent playoff success, winning the Stanley Cup back in 2019. Jordan Binnington, who helped the Blues to that championship, expected to start in goal. He was the goalie of record for all 4 games when the Avalanche swept the Blues in round 1 last year. For Colorado, well, lots of questions about rest or rust heading into this series. Here's head coach Jared Bednar, who thinks the rest is going to be good for his team heading into this series.
Ideally, I wouldn't want too much time off. I think you want enough time to be able to, you know, get away from the game a little bit mentally. I think that's, especially when you're playing emotional playoff series and there's a lot of pressure, I think it's good to get away and kind of decompress and then come back to work focused and ready. It usually makes for a better player, better team.
So Bednar expecting better from his team thanks to the rest. We'll see if that's the case when Game 1 officially drops the puck at 7:30 here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan tonight.
Maybe like 7:45,
7:40-ish.
All kidding aside about the start time, looking forward to this one. I do think a lot of eyes and a lot of storylines surrounding the Avalanche and the rest. They've not played since May 9th, which was last Monday. Does that affect them in this game? Certainly early on, I think it might. But St. Louis has also been off for a little while. They've been off half of that time, you know, 3 or 4 days. So it's not like we're talking about a St. Louis team that is played 2 days ago and jumping right into it. So I don't know if that means a massive disadvantage for the Avalanche. If they're playing a team that went to Game 7 and just played 2 days ago, probably more of a story going into Game 1. These two teams, maybe the hatred not as high as it is between Tampa and Florida, but certainly division rivals that have seen a lot of each other the last couple of years, going back to the pandemic season when you played just inside the bubble. I'm looking forward to this one, and I think Darcy Kuemper is the big story. We talked about that last hour. Good to see him recover from that eye injury. He's ready to go for Game 1 tonight. And Jordan Binnington took over halfway through that Minnesota series. He certainly showed that he's very much a playoff performer still, even though he had a very up-and-down season. He was dynamite in the playoff series against Minnesota in the 3 games he played in. So that's the big X factor in this series is going to be goaltending. And can the Avalanche avoid a Nazem Kadri suspension? He was well-behaved in round 1. They need him to be the same in round two. And I think this series, maybe not as high in terms of the physicality that we'll see maybe in Tampa and Florida tonight, Logan, but I don't think we're going to lack that in this series. Both these teams can play that way. Certainly St. Louis can play a heavy style. I'm expecting to see a little bit of that in this series as it develops into the later stages in games four, games five, and maybe even six.
So that's your second game tonight, around 7:30 or so. Sportsnet and CBC has the Blues in Colorado from Denver. You can also catch all the action here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Off the ice, a couple of stories to get to today as well, Will. Another three finalists announced for an NHL award. This time the Selke Trophy and a Calgary Flame up for the first time for this award. Elias Lindholm, along with Patrice Bergeron of the Bruins and Alexander Barkov of the Panthers, your three finalists for the Selke Trophy. Voted on annually by members of the Pro Hockey Writers Association, presented to the forward who best excels in the defensive aspects of the game. Let's start with Lindholm. First-time finalist, he was a force both ways this year for the Flames. He led all Flames in average ice time by more than a minute. Tied for first on the roster with 42 goals and 55 takeaways. Additionally, the Flames controlled 69.1% of the goals and 57.3% of the shot attempts, with Lindholm on the ice at 5-on-5. Pillar on that Flames penalty kill, which finished the regular season as the sixth best unit in the league. He topped all Flames forwards in average shorthanded ice time per contest at just over 2 minutes and 7 seconds. For Bergeron, pretty used to being a finalist for this, Will. This will be the 11th consecutive nomination for the Selke Award with Patrice Bergeron. That's the longest streak ever for a voted NHL award. If he is able to take it home this year, he would pass Bob Gainey as the only player to win the award five times. That's not bad. 25 goals, 40 assists, averaging 18 minutes per contest in 73 games this year. And, of course, last year's defending champion of the Selke Trophy is Alexander Barkov. He will look to become the seventh player in league history to win it in back-to-back campaigns. He led the Panthers in average time on ice goals while averaging 2.6 takeaways, winning a career-high 57% of his face-offs.
Always a tough award to kind of predict what might happen. It's pretty subjective, certainly a legacy-type award. I'm not taking anything away from Bergeron. I think he's deserved every nomination and every win that he's ever gotten. But, yeah, it's a hard one to handicap. Congratulations to Elias Lindholm for being nominated, and his head coach said, yeah, it's about time.
It's very deserving. It's like when Markey was nominated also, right? Team was whatever regular season, you know, the goals for and against differential, and his goals for and against differential, and his minutes played, not just 5-on-5, but key moments of games, penalty killing, things like that that fall into that. It's good to, you know, quite honestly, if the team doesn't do well, he flies under the radar, right? So the team does well, so then he's recognized. So that's good. It's awesome for him.
It is awesome for him, and congratulations to Lindholm. It was talked about almost all season long, and good to see him get that nomination today, named a finalist alongside Bergeron and Barkov, and we'll see where he ends up and whether or not he wins that award. Winners will be announced later on in these playoffs, but hat tip and congratulations to Elias Lindholm. Well-deserved. After a fabulous season.
Barry Trotz set to have what should be the first of many interviews this offseason after being let go by the New York Islanders, and is one of his first interviews, Will, comes in a place he knows well as the Manitoba native, apparently set to interview for the head coaching position with the Winnipeg Jets. That according, of course, to our Sportsnet NHL insider Elliot Friedman. The veteran bench boss fired from his role with the Islanders last week after a 152-102-34 record with the franchise, helping the team to the Eastern Conference Finals in both 2020 and 2021. However, the Islanders would miss the playoffs this season, finishing fourth in the Metro, 16 points back of the final wildcard spot. Trotz with a very impressive resume, Will. 59 years old, third most regular season wins of all time, only behind Scotty Bowman and Joel Quenneville, helped the Caps to their first Stanley Cup in 2017-2018. Of course, the Jets looking for a new head coach after Paul Maurice resigned from the position back in December, and assistant coach Dave Lowry took over on an interim role. He wasn't able to get the team back to a winning spot. 26-22-6 record down the stretch for the sixth place Jets.
Yeah, I think this is to be expected. I think Barry Trotz, as you mentioned, depending. I mean, he might get interviewed by the Jets and hired by the Jets before he gets an opportunity to interview elsewhere. But I think this will be one of many interviews for Barry Trotz. If I'm the Winnipeg Jets, I'm going to do everything I can to sign him. I think he's a hell of a coach. I think he would be a great fit with the Winnipeg Jets. Kind of would sit and suit the style that they maybe want to play for how that roster is constructed. We don't know what's going to happen with Mark Scheifele, but you've got guys like Blake Wheeler who are a little bit older. You know, you certainly think that the style Barry Trotz plays would fit in with what the Jets want to accomplish going forward. And I mentioned this yesterday on the program. I think the Manitoba native would be a great fit with Winnipeg. I think it makes a lot of sense. You can understand why Barry Trotz would take that interview, and we'll see where it goes. But yeah, I think you're going to be hearing his name on quite a handful of vacancies here the next couple of weeks, depending, again, when he gets hired.
Let's move to baseball. Jays continuing their set against the Mariners tonight after a big win yesterday, hoping for the hot start for the offense to continue.
The 1-0. There's a smash. Straight away center field. Rodriguez turns around. Goodbye! An absolute no-doubter to straightaway center field from the bat of Matt Chapman. And the Blue Jays have their second home run tonight in a 2-0 lead over the Mariners.
Matt Chapman helping the Jays to a big 6-2 win yesterday, improving their record to 19-17. Seattle falling to 16-20. Your pitching matchup, Jose Berríos going for the Jays. Logan Gilbert, who's been strong for Seattle this year, coming in with a 2.13 ERA, another 5.07 first pitch. Well, Blue Jays haven't been as front of mind. There's a lot of baseball happening every day when you're going through the Stanley Cup playoffs, but Jays looking to string some wins together here to get themselves back in the division picture, not fall too far behind.
Yeah, baseball don't stop. They just keep rolling. They don't care what's playing. They're going to play every single day. The Blue Jays, as you mentioned, trying to string some wins together. It hasn't been a great run for them. Yesterday, got off on the right foot to begin their series against Seattle. And, yeah, that's what you want to see with a Blue Jay team who's, you know, got high expectations. The Yankees have been an absolute force to begin the year with a plus 73 run differential and dominating not only the American League East, but the best record in baseball. And Toronto had a very good start, but it was kind of that time against the Yankees that sent them into a bit of a downward slope. And going into that game against the Mariners, they had won just two of their past nine games. Now they've won three of their past 10, and they would like to keep the good times rolling, see if they can string some wins together here. And maybe it was, you know what it was, Logan? Why they won, and maybe why they can turn things around. Yesterday, the Rogers Center, first game all year with the roof open.
So
I think, you know.
There you go.
Roof open brings wins.
There you go.
Just doesn't rhyme. Roof open. Doesn't rhyme at all, but, nope. You know, it's okay. We're trying to bring the segment full circle to your botching of the saying. But,
I don't think I botched it. 5:07 first pitch, Sportsnet 1. Jays Mariners part of 18 games on the MLB schedule tonight, Will.
Just keeps rolling.
Lots of baseball. Three of those games underway right now. Looks like we're just finishing up in KC. White Sox look to be winners 3-0 over KC. Cardinals down 3-0 to the Mets. That one's in the sixth inning. And the Dodgers with a 6-5 lead over the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Also a doubleheader.
Top of 7. So lots of baseball for you on this Tuesday evening. Last but not least, go to the NBA. Will, playoffs continuing.
Oops.
Celtics Heat. Game 1 tonight.
What is this, 2008?
From FTX Arena in Miami, Florida. Playoffs, baby. Last time these two teams met back in March, Miami came out on top with a 106-98 victory. But That's a long time ago. Two playoff rounds plus have gone by since that last game. Miami, 2-point favorite, so it looks like a pretty close matchup for this one. Will Jimmy Butler trying, of course, to will the Heat to a championship in all of this, and Celtics fans happy to see Boston come out on top against Giannis and the Bucks in the previous round. Should be a good one tonight. 6:30 tip-off from Miami.
Believe Mr. Butler scored 32 in the closing game against the 76ers. So, yeah, been a lot of questions around him for quite some time in his career. The Heat have had a great series. Look at Kyle Lowry having some more success in the playoffs. I made the joke because this is a rivalry we saw a lot in the late 2000s, early 2010s. Cool to see these two teams back in an Eastern Conference final, and we'll see what happens. It should be a very close series. You mentioned the favorite tonight by 2 points for Miami. I don't think we're going to see many blowouts in this series. These two teams are pretty evenly matched, and looking forward to this series. Not the two teams I would have predicted when we started the Eastern Conference playoffs to be the last two standing, but injuries always playing a role. Playoffs are very unpredictable, and here we are with these two teams getting set for a battle. Game one goes this evening, as you mentioned.
Before that goes, though, it will be the 2022 edition of the NBA's draft lottery.
Woo!
Get excited for those ping pong balls. They're going to be rattling around, and they'll tell you who gets the number one overall pick. The draw only determines, Will, the order of the top four picks in the NBA. After those picks are locked in, the next 10 lottery picks simply fall in order from worst remaining record to best. Three teams come in with the highest chances of selecting number one overall. That would be the Rockets, the Magic, and the Pistons. All of them with a 14% chance of picking first overall. 52.1% chance to pick in the top four. So the NBA, a little bit more complicated when it comes to their draft lottery process. But
nonetheless,
at 6 o'clock tonight, you can, if it's an intermission between Tampa and Florida, if you want to click over. You're not going to do that?
I don't know if the draft lottery is high on my list.
How dare you?
Of things to watch tonight. There's a little bit more that I think would have my eye. I might switch over to the Blue Jays, for example, in the intermission as opposed to the draft lottery. All due respect to draft lotteries, they've got their place. The future of the NBA, I mean, they're going to be dialed in, but I don't know if I'll be finding myself watching at 6 o'clock.
Interesting fact, both LA teams that are in the lottery today, the Lakers and the Clippers, both of them have traded their first round pick back in 2019, respectively. So these picks still going to other teams, depending on where they land out. You'll remember the Lakers used this pick as part of the deal with Memphis to get Anthony Davis, and the Clippers using this pick as part of the package to pick up Paul George in a blockbuster from the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Memphis? Don't you mean New Orleans? I don't know if Anthony Davis ever played for Memphis. Did he?
Well, no. This is Memphis gets the pick if it falls to 11 or 12, but it can go to the Pelicans if it's within the top 10.
All right.
Because the three
NBA
teams
trades,
it's because
so
complicated. There's protected ones, and if you want to, I mean, you don't have to.
You're really selling it.
Well, I mean, there's never mind. It's not gonna be that exciting. There you go. Here's your headlines.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. Can't wait for tonight. All due respect to the NBA draft lottery.
You're excited for the draft lottery. That's what you're excited for.
No. Not on my top three of sporting events that I'll be dialed into tonight. Calgary Flames and Edmonton Oilers. That does not start until tomorrow. But the Flames, after a day off on Monday, we're back at the rink today. And we heard from Daryl Sutter already. Let's hear from a man who not only is a Selke finalist, but going to be a big part of this second round series. Elias Lindholm and his country mate, Jacob Markstrom, talking with the media. We'll hear from both those gentlemen around the corner. Hour three of The Big Show rolls on next. He's Logan. I'm Will. This is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
You're locked on The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
You know, got to say the text line 960-960, some of the stuff we get in there is just, I mean, quite frankly, not even worth the time. But we also get some very cool stuff that comes in every once in a while. Will Nault, Logan Gordon, along with the others, texts that are just crushing us and saying things they would never say to our face. But other than that, it's a good place and a good source for our program. And we appreciate always the interaction with you, the listener. 960-960, this is a pretty cool text that came in. And it came in during the commercial break. And I'm going to read it because it comes from Steven. And he texted this in. Hey, guys, quick story from Game 7 the other night. I was at the game, absolutely bananas. But after the game, I was drinking at Pin Bar and met two brothers who were also at the game. They were sitting in the press level, they told me. And I guess their dad, who was a big Flames fan, died last summer. At the end of the game, or during, I'm not exactly sure when, but they worked their way down to the glass where the photographer can remove the piece to take photos through it. So one of those sliders. They had their dad's ashes on their person, asked the staff if they could sprinkle some of the ashes onto the ice. They said yes, and even gave the guys a piece of removable fiberglass as well. I'd say it was BS, but I saw the video of them blowing a small amount of their dad's ashes out onto their hand, off their hand, and through the photo window onto the ice, almost moved me to tears. So that was pretty cool. And, you know, certainly the Saddle Dome staff, I know quite a few of them. That does not surprise me that they would allow something like that to happen. So thank you, Steven, for the story. And I hope those brothers had a great game. And certainly know their dad is maybe pushing the Flames on this run. So, again, some of the things we get on the text line, probably not even things you would say to your own family. Certainly, you wouldn't want us to read those to your family because some of the absolute hatred that we see through the text line. But some of the stuff we get is awesome. And thanks, Steven, for the story at 960-960.
I like this one, too. First of all, it was a great story by Steven. Thanks for sending that in. Boys, I got a wedding the night of Game 5. Also have tickets. Advice?
Don't go to the wedding, bud. Sorry.
Here's what you really need to
FaceTime
do.
Somebody at the wedding. And
hope
say
it's done in four for the Flames, and then you don't have to worry. That's probably ideal.
Mm.
Who's the wedding for? Yeah, like, are we talking a buddy?
I was going to say, are you in the
wedding party? Is this a plus one for a girlfriend's friend?
Is it family?
If it's family, I'd miss weddings for. Like if you told me I had Game 5 tickets, and it was
your cousin John's wedding.
Like I'd be like, yeah, sorry, John.
Again, if you know people at the wedding, if you're in the wedding party, probably hard to.
You're screwed.
Yeah, you got to go to the wedding. I'm sorry. But if you're unless
you got tickets for the other four guys, then.
Someone texts in, so probably his own wedding. Well, if it's your own wedding, then, yeah, you got no choice.
That's on you for poor planning.
That might be the
should end have of, assumed.
That might be the end of the engagement if it is your wedding.
Not in the party, but a good friend. Invite list cut down quite a bit to bring us in.
You might have to go to the wedding. Sorry. I mean, how good a friend, really? Is it like if you were in trouble and you needed some help, is he top five people that you would call? Top three? If so, you might want to keep them on your call list. If not.
And then, though, cutting down the list to bring them in and then you don't go.
It's tough. You probably got to.
Because they're expecting you there. They're excited to see you. Yeah. They cut out the Johns in your life, right? The my cousin, everybody got rid of them so that you could go. Maybe it's an afternoon wedding.
No chance. It's during the week. It's Game 5. Game 5 is like on Friday night or Thursday night, whatever it is.
Yikes.
Thursday night. What do people say? Let's go 960-960. Lot saying it's probably his own wedding. Run, go to the game.
This is my favorite one. If he was a good friend, he'd tell you to go to the game.
That's, again, probably the answer he wants. 960-960. Sell the tickets and use the money to give the newlywed couple. Again, that's very generous of you. If you're going to sell the tickets, you pocket the money. I mean, you're not going to give it to your friend.
Only in Game 5 once. Could be not the only wedding you go to.
Planning a wedding in Alberta during the summer. The lack of faith in a playoff run for the Flames is just for shame. Again, if they cut the invite list, maybe COVID has allowed them to back this thing up a few times.
Yeah, see, I'm not going to get on that as much because so many things have been canceled lately that I'm sure they've probably been trying to get this in for a while. And I'm not. I know a few people have been in that road myself. So
a lot of people crushing a wedding on a Thursday. Again, COVID might have resulted. This might be the only time they can get married. Maybe they had the one venue they had in mind. Maybe
isn't that the long weekend too?
No, the long weekend's this weekend. So game five is not going to be this weekend.
No, I guess not.
And also the holiday's on a Monday, not on a Friday. So that also wouldn't be valuable to your point there. More at 960-960. Again, lots of people crushing the Thursday wedding. I don't make the plans here. I think COVID, I'm going to give them a slide. Hey, buddy, only once, game five once against the Oilers. You've got to go. The wedding, not the only wedding for each of them. What a beating.
See, there's a lot of that in
what
here,
a
too.
Beating.
Like, odds are this will be the only time in your lifetime you see the Flames and the Oilers in a game five, but it won't be the only time you see those two get married to someone.
Only in game five once. They were just in game five last round. Hopefully next round. Again, against the Oilers. There, smarty pants. Only in game five once against the Oilers. Might not happen for 31 years. So only going to be in game five once. Go to the wedding. Give me the tickets. Maybe that's your buddy. So maybe you can go. And then again, game five not required. All good.
Yeah, see, that I think is what you need more than anything. Is if you're a Flames fan here and you're hoping... And then it's just four games, and then that guy doesn't have to worry about it.
A real friend would understand. He might be getting married again in 5 years. It could take another 31 years for a Battle of Alberta. Same texter says, add into the story, I also have tickets to game one. Well, then I'm sorry. I know that you said this is not the answer you need. You got to go to the wedding.
Got to go to the wedding.
Sorry. Sell the tickets to game five, though. Like, make some dough. But you got to go to game one. And then hope there's no game five and you don't have to worry about it. But at this point, if you're going to game one and it's a good friend who's already cut the invite list down,
you're screwed.
I know you said it's not the answer you needed, but...
if those were the only tickets you had in the series, it'd be different.
You got to go to the wedding.
It would be a much different conversation, but you don't have a choice now.
Mm.
You just hope that game five is a 2-2 or something and it's not a potential elimination game for the Flames, something like that.
And his final note, his groom is an Oilers fan. Do I invite him to the game?
No, obviously not.
Well, I mean, if you don't want him to get married, you can invite him to the game and you can deal with the no longer engaged story after, I guess. But, interesting. That has blown up the text line. That is wonderful. And I hope you make the right decision. I think it's got to be go to game one and sell the tickets and make some dough. I mean, that's probably realistically the move.
Now, see, I like this one. This is a smart one for this guy. See if you can sell or trade your game five tickets, potentially get game seven or game two tickets.
There's also a good one here, too, though. Take the groom to game one and he'll let you go to game five. If the groom's an Oilers fan, you can make the trade, right? That's a good plan.
There's a lot of you guys that I don't think would say these things to your significant others. I want to say that right now. I appreciate you texting in, and I love the thought process. I'm all for finding a way to get this guy to game five.
960-960. When will you guys give the code word for the ticket giveaway? We did that about 2 hours ago. So you're going to have to listen again to Flames Talk if you want to get the code word for today. And again, unique to this round, code word different for every show. So if you missed it 2 hours ago, be listening to Flames Talk. They'll give you another opportunity to win your way into game one tomorrow. 960-960. You can always chime in. He's Logan. I'm Will. I know that we mentioned this earlier in the program for those that maybe have missed it. Logan, you're gonna be down in the red lot for game one. You're gonna be in the middle of that crowd in an absolute mosh pit. As I said to you earlier, just mix in a water for me, all right? That's all I'm asking you to do.
I'll try.
Like one
no
or two.
No promises.
And I say that because I got to work with you the next day.
That's fair.
So I want you to be a little bit involved.
I'll be here. I don't know what shape I'll be in.
So I want you to be involved.
I can't make those promises. I'll see how the game goes. Like I think that'll be a large impact. Like if we're talking about a win and we got to follow everyone down 17th, then we might be in some trouble. But I can't make promises. I don't want to disappoint you and lie.
So you're going all the way home after the show?
I don't know yet. Probably not.
You only got one day to make these plans, man.
Probably not.
You got to figure it out.
We'll find a way into this building if I have to. Well, like I said earlier, if you see me on the curb, just, you know, nice jacket. I'll give it back to you.
You're going to jack somebody's jacket?
No, yes. It says if somebody could leave me a jacket if I'm sleeping on the curb, then that would be nice.
Might not need one. It's pretty nice out.
It is pretty nice out, actually.
I don't know if you need it. But if it's a blanket, call Matt. Go sleep at Matt's house. He lives close by. You and Matt are good buddies.
Yeah, I don't know how Matt Rose would feel about me
bumming
into his place as a mess at whatever time I'd get there.
Yeah, because Matt Rose is a nice, clean guy to, you know, he's not never a mess, you know.
We all have those moments, but.
Matty's in the room. I mean, he could probably speak for himself, but, you know, I think he'd be all right.
I'm excited for Red Lot, though. I really am. That's why I was stoked about the potential to go and see this and be a part of it. I'm looking forward to it. It's going
to
be fun.
You're watching at home, and you're like, I need to be there. That's where I need to be. To be in the Red Lot. So you're going to be there. It should be a lot of fun. Tickets have just gone out today, I believe, moments ago. You can go to CalgaryFlames.com to find out and get your hands on some of the tickets. I should mention they're not available now. Tickets for Game 1 Red Lot viewing party is made available 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. So that's what you've got to do. Fans can obtain only a maximum of 2 tickets each. We ask that you please only secure what you know you will use to avoid wasted tickets. Please arrive early. Space is subject to availability. If arriving after puck drop, the Red Lot opens up 2 hours prior to scheduled puck drop. So tomorrow will be 5:30. And Red Lot tickets have no cash value and are now non-transferable. So I know that in round number 1, you had people grabbing them and then scalping them for hundreds of dollars. The Calgary Flames have made that so you cannot do that anymore. So if you're going to the Red Lot, please only take tickets if you can use them that are made available tomorrow at 9 a.m. CalgaryFlames.com is where you want to go to get your hands on some Red Lot tickets. The viewing party for Game 1 will open up at 5:30 Calgary time. 7:30 puck drop. It'll be just after 7:30, though, I would imagine. Looking forward to this series. How much focus will we have tomorrow, Logan, on the Drysdale injury, the Chris Tanev injury? I know Tanev back on the ice today. Don't really know how close he is or will never get an idea how close he is to 100%. He's playing through some sort of injury. For a guy like that to be held out of an important game like Game 7, it does make you worry a little bit. But to see him back on the ice today is good news. No question on the other side of it. I know Ken Holland had mentioned he will play, but how effective is Leon Draisaitl? I think we're going to be watching for that tomorrow. Don't expect him on the ice for some sort of morning skate tomorrow. We probably won't see him until the game, but we saw him in Game 7 against the LA Kings. He played, and he played a lot, over 22 minutes, but did so on one leg. I think that's probably the biggest storyline tomorrow out of Game 1 in this series.
Yeah, that's a huge development for the Oilers. What percentage is Leon Draisaitl? We know that he's good enough to go when it comes to being on the ice. He was there for Game 7 against the Kings, but was he at 100%? Didn't look like it. How much higher of a percentage does he get to with these few days off? Enough that he, the injury is bad enough that he's not even practicing. You know, that we're at that kind of point where I don't expect to see him out there. So how much of the days off been able to help him? If it's a physical series, what kind of toll does that take? You know, Daryl mentioned it in his presser a little earlier. You know, it's just that time of year with injuries where you're not going to get much information, but what's out there is out there and hard to avoid. And I think that's a huge story because especially when the Oilers are in one of those situations where they need a little more, it's always the McDavid-Draisaitl combination that they can turn to. And if Draisaitl's not at 100%, which it sure doesn't look like he is, does that limit the effectiveness of that duo together? You know, do you have to rely more on Nugent Hopkins or Vander Kane? Those are really interesting questions because I think while a lot of focus is rightfully so on Connor McDavid, a lot of it deserves to go to Leon Draisaitl, and his effectiveness in this series potentially being limited in any way is a huge story.
And I think it's going to be, point of focus for the Flames. Make life tough on him. Take the body, be physical on him as much as you can. It's not like Leon Draisaitl is a small body, so it's not going to be easy necessarily. But, yeah, I would certainly think that that's going to be a focal point for some of the Flames, is to be involved physically with number 29. Make life more difficult for him, because you know he is battling something. We don't know what it is exactly. There's rumors of a high ankle sprain. If that's the case, it's incredibly painful, and credit to him for trying to play through it. But, yeah, you got to make life difficult on him, and make sure you finish every single check you can on Leon Draisaitl. That'll be a big story heading into Game 1 and as the series develops between the Flames and the Edmonton Oilers. He's Logan Gordon. I'm Will Nault. More on this series tomorrow. Lou will join us off the top. We'll talk all things Flames and Oilers, getting you set for game number one. Can't wait for it. It's finally here. Enjoy round two tonight, the two games that kick things off. Reminder, we've got Colorado and St. Louis for you live on Sportsnet 960. Puck drop just after 7:30. Flames talk is next. That'll do it for our Tuesday edition of the show. Talk to you tomorrow. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.